This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that lead today's show are as follows. Apple sells out to China. We're going to talk about body cams in Baltimore. We're going to talk about the craziest robot story, well, you'll ever see, for those of you that go to the link in the show notes. We're going to talk about Google's in-store purchase tracking. Yes, that's a little scary. And we're going to talk about how artificial intelligence is cooking up malware, plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1216 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, July 31st. Oh my goodness, we're at the end of the month. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And I am sitting here as we're starting the show tonight, and I am manipulating screens and things that should have been manipulated before I started the show. I'll get this here in a second. But welcome to the podcast. For those of you that are brand new to the show, thanks for being here, and thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. We want you to take just a few minutes, since you're new, and get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're over on the website, really what you're going to do is we're going to get you signed up for the show. We're going to get you so you can get subscribed and also make sure you never miss any of the content that that I put out. And that's just real simple right there in the right column of the website. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or standard RSS feed. You don't know what any of that means. Click on the more subscribe options. That's going to give information on sign up for the show. A little bit further down on the website is a link for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I cover during the show. And basically, we're going to get you hooked up so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. So that's what we want you to do. That's how we want you to get connected with the show. And, you know, it's a piece of cake once you do that. And you get all, you're all connected to the podcast. Let me try something here. This is going to probably blow up on the screen. Yes, it did, just as I expected it would. Now, let's scrunch that down. You guys are getting to see me manipulate stuff that... Oh, man. What happens is I do the new media show with Rob Greenlee on Saturday, and I changed the entire setup up, so everything has to be reconfigured, and I should have done it before the show started, and I forgot. But hey, if you've got comments on today's show, email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at geeknews. You can, of course, join our Slack channel by just sending me an email. Say, I want to join the Slack channel, and drop me that and let me know. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus and Facebook just by searching for my name. Of course, we want you to watch the show or listen, depending on your preference here. You can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel. You can subscribe to Geek News Central on the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can tell Stitcher, or you can watch on listen on Stitcher, watch or listen on Blueberry.com, or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Parent shows include, partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my team here at Geek News Central, and of course we've got the new media show hosted by Rob Greenlee and I, and then we've got the Podcast Legends Show, which I think we've came up with a strategy today to get some folks scheduled and get some episodes out, so more to follow on that. Hey, this show, of course, is sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com, and we want you to take time to visit. Basically, just all you got to do is come over to the webpage at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. When you're over there on the website, you're going to find my promo codes, whether it be 30% off new products or purchases, new products or new product purchases. 99cent.com, a dollar a month economy hosting, a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year. Both those offers include a free domain. So for $12, you get basically a domain name and a hosting account. It's a great deal. First month free trial of GoDaddy website builder as well as available. All those deals can be available at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, now, since I've had the absolute worst start to any show in a long time, everyone, welcome to the show. I got a lot to share with you tonight. Lots of great content. Kirk came up with about 75% of the content tonight. I came up with the rest. I kind of hacked between the two of them, and we put together a show. But just to get you guys caught up on what's going on, spent Saturday working on a video that I put up for my effort and what's going on in Quincy, Michigan. So I worked on that, got that posted up on Facebook, and then just a bunch of other stuff was going on as well, and some family stuff. And then Sunday, we did the new media show Sunday morning versus Saturday morning. Rob Greenlee got delayed in Minneapolis, and he, or Milwaukee, I think. And he couldn't do the show on Saturday like normal, so we recorded on Sunday morning. But immediately after that, had to run into town, pick up my son. They were at a special church service that morning with a special guest from Australia that my son wanted to see. And we ran back to the gym. I got my third workout in for the weekend. Then we grabbed some food. He had a soccer coach clinic. So basically, they're training new coaches in AYSO. So he basically went and acted as a student. So ran around the field by the direction of these, coaches under training for about 4 hours. Volunteered his time to do that. And I got some drone time in, which was good. And some reading and some other stuff. So overall, weekend was pretty well taken care of, and with all the other stuff that we all do on weekends, like laundry and all that kind of junk. But anyway, back with you. Been a busy day today. Very, very busy. My team has a big meeting with some folks tomorrow. So excited about that. Going to be making some decisions on some stuff moving forward. So yeah, it's a good time right now. I can't complain. So the studio came up perfect tonight. I had a little trouble on Sunday, but everything came up the way it was supposed to, and we're streaming, and it looks like everything's working as it's supposed to be. And let me make sure I'm on the right. Oh, I want to switch that. So yeah, that's good. Let me do that. All right. So otherwise, no complaints. Everything's going good here. So let's get into the content. I got a good stack of stuff for you tonight. So we'll get through that so that we can get everyone in and out on the show. But those of you joining us live, thanks so much. Be sure to check in the chat room, whether it be live.geeknesscentral.com or on facebook.com/Cochran, wherever you're watching the live show, make sure you weigh in and say hello. Okay. So first things first, wow, I'm just, I'm really disappointed in, and I guess this should not come as a surprise, because they have kowtowed to China before, and Apple's basically removed VPN apps from the App Store in China. You know, China right now has outlawed VPN apps, unless they follow a whole bunch of specific rules, and because what China wants is to monitor and to make sure their people are doing as they say and not as they want to do. So a number of companies are not happy here, and but these companies that make these VPN applications for people in China to help dissidents, reporters, people looking for information outside of the Great Firewall, have been basically thrown to the curb by Apple. Now, it's a popular sentiment that Apple should be thrown to the curb here, and I think this is rightfully so, but they don't want to lose sales, in China. It's all about the money. Let's not forget about that and their corporation. And they are, they have to answer to their stockholders. But at the same time, Apple's got a pretty big nest egg. They've got a pretty large cash pile. And, I wish Apple would have kind of stood up a little bit here. But they definitely bowed to pressure. And they've removed the VPN without citing any Chinese law or regulations. Now, Apple has subsequently responded in a statement. But it says, too bad. So what we have now is the great firewall of China is really even more so for people on mobile devices, and especially Apple products. But we all have to remember that doing business in China is a privilege, not a right. They can send you home really at any time. They do not, you just don't operate free will there. And same with the people as well. It is a communist state. People forget this. You know, that they are, they're all about control. So it's interesting. We'll see how what progresses, but maybe people are going to be back wanting to jailbreak iPhones again to be able to run rogue VPN applications. But that market, has long dried up. So maybe people will be more inclined to buy Android devices, which are a little bit more, usable when it comes to being able to hack them and load applications on that may help them avoid Chinese monitoring. But anyway, that's what's going on with Apple in China and basically having Apple sold out to the Chinese. I'm really, really disturbed about information I'm hearing coming out of Baltimore. I think for the majority of us, we respect and we want to make sure that we're supportive of police officers. But when you have a Baltimore Police Department officer planting drugs and caught on a body cam doing it, those individuals need to be arrested. They need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And it's kind of scary, to be honest with you, that they so easily were caught planting drugs. And the prosecuting attorney has basically come in, the public defender there, has had the charges summarily dropped because of this. And they've also released up to 34 other people that had pending drug cases that were dropped and dismissed as well because they were connected to the three officers seen in a different body cam video showing an additional officer planting drugs. I have to commend the public defender's office for releasing the video showing this. That particular officer has been suspended while the two other have been placed on administrative leave. And again, as part of the due diligence in turning things over, this would have come out anyway. But here and now a second body cam video has showed up, and there's another officer that is under suspicion. So we are in a time where technology is definitely helping people that would otherwise be illegally charged. We do know that there are people out there that do bad things, and we all know that. But the same instance when someone is being charged falsely, that goes against the core. It goes against the core of anything in this country. And you have to wonder how many folks, and you just hope that this is a very, I mean, even 1% is too much, to be honest with you, because that would mean that if there's 1% of false charges being made, that, you know, 1 out of 100 could end up in prison. So, I don't know, this is very bothersome. And I don't know the history of the Baltimore Police Department, whether or not they've got a history of this kind of stuff. But, wow, it's really, really pretty eye-opening. And it just goes to show you that at some point here, maybe we all need to be wearing some sort of body cam to protect our own selves. It's pretty wild out there. And with police being so aggressive, anytime someone breaks out a camera and films them, you know, we've talked about many instances over the years where people have had their phones knocked out of their hands, stuff deleted off their phones. I think we have enough court cases, enough decisions throughout the United States now that may be on the wane. But at the same time, these body cams that the police are wearing are helping catch, you know, bad cops. And in this particular situation, what got him was the 30-second pre-roll. So when they switch on these body cams, which I feel they should be running continuously anyway, and I know that's a double-edged sword, but when they turn on that body cam, it picks up the last, it already has the last 30 seconds on stored. So this is where they got caught, was in the pre-roll that they must not have known about. But a pretty sad state of affairs there, and hopefully they're made examples of, and you know, for the, you know, the 99% of the other police officers out there, they're good cops. It's just too bad that people like this, you know, give the rest of them a bad name. Moving on here. This is simply incredible. In Ottawa, Canada, someone spent, I mean, an insane amount of money. And I just, when I watch this, I'm flabbergasted, to be honest with you. And tell you how big it is. Let me just give you some scope here, okay? This thing is being, it's got two people on top. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks like 6 operators underneath it. They've all got joysticks, hydraulic controls, and a variety of other things going on. And they're running this massive robot spider. This is not a movie. This is a real deal. And then they got some guy sitting on this massive dragon next to it. These folks spent a lot of money on hydraulics. Now, it's ingenious on how they did it, and they kind of hide the apparatus that holds it up. This is not a freestanding device. The spider doesn't crawl on its own. It's got a big hydraulic lift behind it. But just the simple fact that they created this thing, I was like, whoa, it's really awesome. And I would just love to see the hydraulics that were used and the materials and, you know, it's just cool. And for any of you that are, you just got to see this. This is probably the, and they got a video of it. I got a GIF running on the screen right now for those of you watching, but it's awesome. It's really, really awesome. And they show it, you know, basically a mock battle between a Godzilla-like beast, essentially. So I sit here and I was mesmerized by this thing. I watched the video twice. So they did a good job. And whoever bankrolled it, man. Hold on to your bank account, because they definitely impacted it. All right, this next article, I've been telling you for a long time, And those of you that have been with the show for a while know that I say that Google knows us better than our spouses do, okay? Or kids or whatever. So, all right, you're on the net, you're surfing around, you're getting some exposure, unless you got an ad blocker, you're getting some exposure to some ads. Let's just say, a couple days later, you're in, let's just say Target or Walmart or Best Buy or, just someplace where you're at a, regular brick and mortar. And you go in there and you pick up a couple of items and you swipe your credit card and, you load your stuff up in your vehicle and come home. What would you think if I told you that when you swiped your credit card and bought that stuff, that there was an advertising information exchange being fed back to Google of what you just bought? Would that freak you out a little bit? It's being said and being essentially disclosed that Google's advertising system connects people's in-store purchases to their online browsing. At some point in the near future, may face regulatory review because the Chocolate Factory, that's Google, won't discuss details about how it slices and dices its data. On Monday, privacy warriors at Epic announced they have filed a complaint with the American Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, asking the agency to halt Google's store sales measurement service. The ad programming was introduced in May at the company's 2017 Google Marketing Next event. It allows marketers to measure in-store revenue in addition to the store visits delivered by your search and shopping ads. It does so by associating approximately 70% of credit and debit card transactions in the U.S., with online ads and actions in order to link online ad spending to your offline sales. So in other words, it allows Google to tell advertisers that folks bought their stuff in their shops after seeing Google served ads on the web. Epic contends that the data Google has gathered reveals sensitive information in consumer purchases about consumer purchases and health. How can they not know who we are? Okay, I'm watching here something on, YouTube, or I'm on Google, and maybe an ad flickers for some product. And I go to the store and I buy that, and they link that together? Epic contends Google's refusal to disclose its partnerships with data brokers endangers consumer privacy because data brokers operate with little scrutiny and rarely give consumers control over how their data gets used. And here's the deal. You're going to buy something sensitive that you don't want your insurance company, Google, Apple, and just about every other digital company in existence, if you don't want them to know, my advice is to go to the bank and take a cash withdrawal out of your account and go to the store and pay cash. If you're buying liquor with credit cards, if you're buying smokes, if you're buying cigars, if you're buying anything that any company considered detrimental to one's health and well-being and or financial viability, you better go pay cash. But it could be they also know what kind of underarm deodorant I wear. It's gotten to that point. I'm surprised I just don't show, if they're going to do this, let me just drive into Walmart, I'll go into the parking lot, and I'll pull up to the front. And someone should come out with a basket, okay? Just bring me a basket. Bring me the soap, the shampoo, the razors, the shaving cream, throw some, why don't you throw some underwear in there, some t-shirts, some socks, maybe give me a couple of examples of some shirts, have a whole parade of stuff that will come out and be sold to me because they know what I want. Right? I understand we're being marketed to online. But to extend it to when I swipe a credit card at any, and I shouldn't use Walmart example, any box top, and it calls home to Google and reports my transactions. A big WTF over. The FTC is saying that they had not yet received the complaint. Assuming the complaint arrives, there's no guarantees epic indignation result in FTC action. As a matter of policy, agency does not comment on active investigations or whether it will initiate such action. Google has emerged more or less unscathed from the FTC encounters during the Obama administration. It did agree to pay $22.5 million in 2012 to settle FTC charges that it bypassed Apple Safari privacy protections, which followed a previous settlement that violated privacy promises related to its now defunct Google Buzz service. But Google is facing tougher scrutiny in Europe, thanks to ongoing efforts by foes like Oracle to humble the Google. And,
I don't know how to help with that.
Oh, see? Google Home's here listening anyway, right? Right on cue. Right on cue. They don't have to worry about it. They know anyway. I'm sitting here talking in front of a Google Home device. It's just listening in. It's hearing me complain about their services. We did it to ourselves, folks. We're so stupid, aren't we? My God. All right. Well, this artificial intelligence. the Terminator is what we all do not want to help happen, right? We don't want the machines to become aware and take over. But I'm going to tell you, things are not looking so good. An experiment which used Elon Musk's open artificial intelligence framework was demonstrated at DEF CON. Machine learning tools can create custom malware that defeats antivirus software. Now, let me say this again. And let me explain what they're talking about. In a keynote demonstration at DEF CON hacking convention, Hiram Anderson, technical director of data science at security shop Endgame, nice name for his company, showed off research that his company had done in adapting Elon Musk's open artificial intelligence framework to the task of creating malware that security engines cannot spot. The system basically learns how to tweak malicious binaries so that they can slip past antivirus tools and continue to work once unpacked and executed. Changing small sequences of bytes can fool antivirus engines, even ones that are powered by artificial intelligence, he said. Anderson cited research by Google and others to show changing just a few pixels in an image can cause classification software to miss a bus for an ostrich. All machine learning models have blind spots. Depending on how much knowledge a hacker has, they can be convenient to exploit. This is where all of you just listen here, all right? Put your coffee down. With 15 hours of training, the artificial intelligence software ran over 100,000 samples past a non-commercial security engine. They were able to get about 16% of the customized samples past the security system's defenses. Now, don't drop your coffee. This software generation software will be online at the firm's GitHub page, and Anderson encouraged people to give it a try. They made it available on GitHub. We are so done. We are so done. Everyone needs to have one machine that doesn't touch the internet at all. And that machine better have all your backups, better have good ISOs of every computer you have in your home. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're screwed. I'm just like, it created 100,000 malware files, malware definite, 100,000 binaries in 15 hours. And they weren't even trying hard. That does bring up a point. Best Buy, and I don't know if I told you about this on the last show, we're having a sale on 8 terabyte drives. They were $159 each. And what I've done is I bought 4 of them. And I'm going to take, they're all here. I did 2 online and I went in the store to get 2. Best Buy is actually trying to work it. I was kind of surprised having been in there. But anyway, I got 2 online, 2 in the store. So I'm $600 in with really 32 terabytes of storage sitting on my floor back here. So I'm going to buy a $97 RAID 2. It's basically, it can be set up as RAID 2. And I'll have 15 terabytes of storage. And what this box is going to be, and what I've set up here, what I'm going to set up, is a cold storage device. So, I've got a NAS already that backs stuff up here and does everything that is, active. I can get access to all that right now. And it's a Synology box. It's a 5 drive bay unit. And, that is my active storage. So what I'm going to do with this RAID 2 15 terabyte cold storage is just that. It will be, I'll set that up, plug it into the NAS, back the NAS up to that, and then disconnect it. And the only time it will be run up is after we've done complete, virus scans happen on all the machines, malware scans happen on the machines, and even the Synology device, all that's run, and then we'll incrementally add stuff to the cold storage and do that on a periodic basis. But the main thing is here is I'm going to have cold storage backup of everything, because if something really gets on the loose at some point and goes through and wipes us all out, even though we're running antivirus and malware protection, recovery could be very, very painful. Now, if you've only got one computer at home, this is not a big deal. But if you've got lots of computers like I do, this is a big challenge. So at least that's going to be my attack vector here. So we'll see how it works out. Okay, next thing up, Game of Pawns, Hacker Invades HBO, and they've leaked the Game of Thrones script. I'm behind. I haven't watched the last 2 episodes of Game of Thrones, so I'm trying to stay away from the news and any spoilers, but the attackers have reportedly copied 1.5 terabytes of files and video from the Telly Goliath, including unreleased episodes of Ballers and Room 104 that have already been leaked and shared online. The folks at HBO are susceptible to hacking just as much as anyone else. So keep away from the spoilers, folks. Pandora is probably breathing a bit of a sigh of relief. Of course, they got a bunch of money injected into $480 million from SiriusXM. You think SiriusXM is looking at the day when they're not going to be putting any more satellites up and they want a platform to continue to push their programming? I think so. But anyway, Pandora still lost some money, but only 0.21, 21 cents per share versus 24% shares what the market thought it was going to do. They had revenue of $376 million. Wait a minute. They posted a loss of 21 cents per share on revenue of 376.8. So what was the total loss? Does it show what the number was? It doesn't give me the actual how much money they lost, but yeah, they still lost money. But anyway, so Pandora is maybe here on the track to recovery. I don't know. How many of you have seen the Neil Armstrong Gold Apollo Lunar Module? Well, that model was stolen yesterday out of a Ohio museum. And police responded to a burglary at the Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Wapakoneta, Ohio, shortly before midnight Friday, July 28th. Excuse me, it was a few days ago. The 18-karat gold, 5-inch high miniature lunar lander was found missing. And Cartier had presented that to the astronaut many, many years ago. But anyway, it has been stolen. So some collector somewhere wanted that bad boy and probably paid for a break-in. SpaceFest and Space.com touched down at New York City's Intrepid Museum this week. So if you are in New York City, you definitely want to go to the Intrepid Museum. They've got some cool stuff going on. There's a Mars rover mock-up on display. All kinds of cool stuff there. Lots of stuff for the kids to do. So if you're in New York City, this may be a good time to hit the museum. I have never been there. I want to go someday, so definitely have that on my list. Just so you know, we get a big solar eclipse coming. And make sure that you have purchased the right type of solar eclipse glasses that are actually real and not fake. But during the total solar eclipse on August 21st, observers will be happy to know that we're good to have solar eclipses for at least another 600 million years. The moon is only moving away about 21 centimeters a year. Oh, no, excuse me. 4 centimeters a year, an inch and a half. It's only moving out that. So 600 million years, the last solar eclipse will happen. So I think for those of you that are on right now, I think there's going to be plenty of solar eclipses in the future. But this is a good one. Many of you are going to see it across Central America, Central United States. Yes, Central North America. So definitely check it out. It's going to be a good one. Also, there's a pretty cool Cassini caught a pretty awesome aurora over, basically out circling Saturn. So put some pretty cool video on that. I'll have a link up in the show notes on that for you to check out. If any of you have ever seen the Northern Lights, that is pretty exciting. I've been lucky enough to see it, I think, twice or three times. One time as a kid, really good. It was way up. It wasn't just like on the horizon. It was way up and over my head. It was beautiful. Amazon is blowing out the last of their Fire HD 10s for $120 while supplies last. So if you want a Fire HD 10, it's a really solid, sizable tablet for the money. You still got some time to get one. $120 it's clearing out refurbs for $120. That's $80 less than a usual refurb. And $110 less than what Amazon used to charge for new ones. Supplies on those will not last long. All right, get an unlocked Galaxy S8 for as low as $425. So the S8 continues to be one of the best phones you can buy this year, even its regular retail price of $724. But right now, Samsung's doing everything it can to change the minds of the unconvinced through an awesome promotion. Through the 4th of August, you can get $150 off the regular price of an S8 by doing nothing. Just click the link below in the show notes, and that brings the price down, okay? And then there's some other incentives with some of the, do some trade-ins. If you have a Galaxy, older Galaxy, or an iPhone, or an LG, or Pixel, they'll give you another $150 off. So There's a great deal out there if you're looking to upgrade or thinking about upgrading to the S8. You're probably going to get it the cheapest that you're going to be able to get it in some time over through the 4th, okay? So be aware of that. That deal expires very, very quickly. You know, I always love these kits where you can buy, basically a Raspberry Pi and some additional parts, and you can build stuff like remote-controlled cars and that kind of stuff. So the folks over at Android Central have, basically a link to some kits that are out there that are available. So dads, if you're looking to build something with your sons, this is a great little project. Instruction manuals, how to build it, how to get it programmed up, how to use it. And definitely think about this. These are cool things to spur innovation and ideas in your kid's head, or see if they can put it together themselves if you're not into it. But $150, not bad. Speaking of Google, of course, Alphabet ABC, the primary company, is using salt and antifreeze to store power from wind farms. And according to Bloomberg, the system takes in energy in the form of electricity and turns it into separate streams of hot and cold air. The hot air heats up the salt while the cold air cools the antifreeze. And just like a refrigerator, the jet engine part, they can flip a switch and the process reverses. Hot and cold air rush toward each other, creating powerful gusts that spin a turbine and spit out electricity when the grid needs it. So this is pretty cool. Salt can apparently store energy for days, so this would give energy companies that are dumping off electricity generated from wind farms and solar panels a pace to hold. According to Bloomberg sources, California had to dump over 300,000 megawatts of electricity, which could have powered tens of thousands of homes already this year because it was excess. They had no place to put it. So we'll see if Alphabet comes up with the salt-based storage as a way to store excess energy to be able to create energy when the winds die down or when it's dark. There's a cool article on Lifehacker. Have you ever been reading something in your phone and, man, I wish I could send this to my desktop. You don't want to copy the URL and go through the pain. Well, there's some tools that you can do that. You can send a web page from your phone to your PC, and there's stuff for iOS, there's stuff for Microsoft, it's the full gamut here. Android doesn't matter. So I'll have the link in the show notes, gives you some instruction on how to do that if you've ever been in that situation and wanted to just flick the image or flick the link over to your desktop. It happens to me a lot. All right, with the sanctions coming, and we know that Russia is forcing like 160 or 170 Americans out of the embassies, they're expelling them. There's a little bit of tit-for-tat going on right now. We know that President Obama last year, did some executive actions that, caused some Russians to get kicked out of the country as well. But the current president has signed the final, or is going to sign the final paperwork that's being submitted by Congress. And what's kind of interesting here is, we rely on NASA and the Russians right now to get to the International Space Station. So Congress really was careful in the way it wrote its legislation, such that the White House must get the Kushner approval prior to easing any sanctions, but they made it so that they allow American rocket company United Launch Alliance to continue to procure RD-180 engines for its Atlas V rocket and for NASA to continue to smooth relations with Russia for its partnership with the International Space Station. And we do know that three astronauts from NASA, Italy and Russia, launched aboard a Russian spacecraft Friday up to the station. I missed that launch. But anyway, a little bit of tit-for-tat discussions going on, but political stuff aside, I guess the science is continuing. Valerie Jarrett, that's a name that should be familiar for many of you. Valerie Jarrett was one of the former president's staffers and she has joined the board of directors at Lyft. So I'm sure with a nice cushy, a nice cushy cash agreement every month. Android could soon show how battery your Android, and I didn't know Android couldn't do this, but Android could soon show you how much battery your wireless headphones have left. And I know iPhone's done that for a while. I didn't know that this was not the case on Android, but Android Open Source Project has added support for retrieving battery level information on remote devices. I actually had one of my workout headphones, Bluetooth. I kill Bluetooth headsets. But I got into the gym yesterday and put my headphones on, and you turn them on, and only this side worked. I didn't have no sound coming from the right hand side, and I don't know what happened. It just quit. And those were nice ones. So back to buying cheap ones. Hey, Mike and Jeremy, thanks for joining us live tonight. Hope you hang out with us the rest of the evening. Sprint is still seeking a merger partner after being rejected by Charter. Poor Sprint. They're kind of left to their own devices at this point. And I got a bill from Sprint the other day. I had a USB stick with them for years, and I had canceled it. And, of course, the billing was, kind of out of whack cycle. And I got a bill for $1.09. Tried to use the online payment system, and because I had my credit card linked over there, and that wouldn't work. I had to talk to a customer service agent. I said, I'm sorry, I'm here to pay $1.09 bill, but if I don't pay it, you guys will send it to collections in 90 days. And she laughed. She says, that's okay. She says, I processed a 32-cent charge about 15 minutes ago. So she says, you're not alone. So, but anyway, Sprint is trying to find a partner, and they're not having much luck. And it's a sad day for them, but we'll see how it continues. Hey, Spotify has announced it has 60 million subscribers now. This is a big jump. In March, they had 50 million. So that's a 10 million, March, April, May. So that's huge. It's huge growth. And with 140 million total users, but 60 million that are writing them a check every month. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. All right. So Spotify is also trying to get more in the podcast space, but they've got so many limited shows. I really don't understand their goals. I'm not a big fan of Spotify right now as far as podcasting stuff goes, but they think they have a chance to run against Apple. And I'm like, well, you can't do it with 200 shows in your directory. It just isn't going to work. The Chinese have banned VPNs. Now the Russians have banned anonymous web surfing tools, which essentially is a VPN. President Vladimir Putin, you may not like whoever's in charge of the U.S. government, but aren't you glad they don't restrict you from the tools you can use to be on the internet? But anyway, President Vladimir Putin has signed a law that prohibits forms of technology that grant access to banned websites in Russia. Effective November 1st, the ban covers services that allow people to use the internet anonymously, such as virtual private networks and proxies. Internet providers will have to block websites that host these services. So, wow. Russia's federal website blacklist, introduced in 2012, was originally meant to apply to sites that had content on legal drugs, child porn, and suicide, but a 2013 amendment expanded any content suspected of extremism. I think Russia is by definition, extremism. The amendment allows for flexible interpretation, letting Russia ban any material that criticizes its views or appears to weaken the government's power. Is Putin going to become the prime minister or whatever he was? Is he going to flip-flop again so he can come back and be president again? Who knows? But, Russians, you guys are getting it too. Former Google executive wrongly claims Android photography is years behind. And I honestly don't know this, but I know the iPhone is pretty awesome on its photography tools. You Android users may disagree with him, but Gondorta swore he would never use an Android phone for photos. So, anyway, I guess that's why he's a former Google exec. How about any Android users? how does your pictures compare? I'm sure the Galaxy S8 does some awesome pictures, but how, what can you do with them after you take the picture? That's the question. All right, everything coming Netflix, Amazon Prime, and HBO in August. So let me just give you a, there's a pretty good list. Netflix, The Matrix is back. Astronaut's Wife, Small Soldiers, Nola Circus, Lord of War, Jackie Brown, Bad Santa, Cloud Atlas comes August 1st to Netflix. On August 2nd through the 14th, we've got Voltron, Black Site Delta, Naked, White Gold, Hot Property, Mission Control, Urban Hymn. We got Barbecue, August 16th to August 23rd. We've got AWOL, Bad Rap, Gold, Disjointed. It's just, but leaving Netflix, The Horseman, Delivery Man, Diabolical, The Verdict, Electric Slide. But if you flip the lid here, I mean, it just, and then we go to Prime, some of the same stuff's leaving. The list is too long. I'll just have it here. You'll be able to see what movies are coming to your favorite device. I have Netflix, I have Amazon Prime, and I still have HBO. So I guess I'm good for movies. I just got to find time to watch them. Hey, Amazon suspended sales of Blue phones for including preloaded spyware again. Blue, a Miami-based Android phone company, has been suspended from selling Amazon after cybersecurity experts detailed all software preloaded to its devices, collect data, and sends it overseas. Again, this is the second time they've been banned. So we'll see if they get their act together. Amazon, which is traditionally stuck to buying and producing films, relying on indie film studios to distribute its flicks, its next big release will see the retail giant basically launching a production arm and move one step closer to becoming a full-scale film studio. According to Variety, Amazon Studios will solely handle distribution for Woody Allen's Wonder Wheel, which is due out in December. As a result, it will have complete control of how the film is released. I'm not a big fan of Woody Allen at all. I think he's, first of all, even in movies, I think he's a weird bird. And in real life, I think he's even weirder. I'm not a fan of, I'm not a Woody Allen fan at all. If I don't think he could pay me to go see a Woody Allen movie. Samsung's new mobile LTE modem supports speeds faster than fiber. Samsung's existing flagship chipset, the Exynos 8895, is an integrated Cat 16 LTE modem, which is supported download speeds up to 1 gig. Not content with those numbers, Samsung worked closely with Japanese telecommunications measuring instrument provider Inritsu to hit download speeds of up to 1.2 gigs. Inritsu makes some really good test gear. Really good. Inritsu actually bought Hewlett-Packard, for those of you that don't know. Skilled Thieves and the HP instrument division. Some skilled Romanian thieves stole $590,000 worth of iPhones out the back of a moving truck. That takes some skills to roll up to a truck, crawl over the hood, walk onto the back gate, unlock the back of the truck, open the door, and throw boxes of phones out without the driver even seeing. Five people have been arrested because apparently they weren't stupid or smart enough to cover up the license plates on their vehicle. Hey, Chrome ad blocker shows up in experimental Android browser. And of course, Google has basically said they are going to include ad blocking in Chrome for mobile and desktop. So while the feature hasn't been officially revealed yet, we might just see what's real here shortly. Some people running Chrome Canary on Android, a special build of Google browser that's experimental and stable, are noticing ad blocking option in the settings. Aha, dun-da-da-da. FCC sharing their own denial of service attacks undermine security. Even though they want other companies to share their information, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. FCC, boy, oh boy, so far have you fallen. Tech CEOs haven't yet agreed to attend a House net neutrality hearing. You think? Last week, the House Energy and Commerce Committee invited CEOs from Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, Netflix, Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, and Charter to testify at an upcoming hearing about net neutrality. So here we are, big tech companies. It's time to put your money where your mouth is. It's okay to have your, you know, your day where you, you know, you protest on your websites, but you get to DC and tell it the way it is, and let us protect some net neutrality standards. If you don't go, you can absolutely guarantee the big cable, the big boys will be there to make sure we don't get what we need. There's big good news for people juggling both Google G Suite and Microsoft Exchange. For scheduling management at work, Google's released an update that will allow G Suite users to access coworkers' real-time free busy information through both Google Calendar and Microsoft's Outlook Scheduling Assistant interchangeably. Awesome! So I'd like to see some features on Google as far as their scheduling software that allows you to block availability times. A lot of apps do that now that are kind of, or services do that's kind of a fill-in in between. Android apps can now find nearby devices even when they're offline. It's called Nearby Connections. Nearby Connection does not need an internet connection to start talking. So if you've ever wished your smartphone apps would automatically do your bidding, the moment you near the device, you're in luck. After previewing it at I.O. in May, Google has made the second generation of its Nearby Connections toolkit available to Android developers. The updated framework uses Bluetooth and Wi-Fi to find nearby devices, connect to them, and perform tasks without requiring an internet connection. Someone explain to me what this is going to do and how this is going to be secure. That's what I want to know. So, example, you could walk into your hotel room and it could auto-adjust the temperature the moment you walk in. Okay. Do I have to give permission for that to happen? I don't know. So we'll keep an eye on this. What else do we have up today? Hey, McAfee's online scan system used plain old HTTP to patch screen elements. McAfee has moved to patch a bug that falls under the didn't you get the message category. Among other things, it's free Security Scan Plus online tool. Retrieve information over HTTP and basically really open up a potential man-in-the-middle vector. And wow. So anyway, could have shoved stuff down in ads and design elements and stuff that potentially could have been bad. For those of you watching, I all of a sudden got a really sore neck. I don't know why. A college football player has lost his scholarship over his YouTube channel. So this guy had some serious views, 90,000 subscribers, and amassed 5 million views. It was monetized. So the NCAA saw his videos as a direct violation to its rule that prohibits student-athletes from using their status to earn money. UCF's athletes department negotiated with the association since D. La Hayes sends the money he earns from YouTube to his family in Costa Rica. The association gave him two choices. He can keep the account monetized, but he has to stop referencing his status as a student athlete and move the videos wherein he does. Or he has to stop monetizing it altogether. Since De La Haye chose not to accept either option, he's been declared ineligible to play in any NCAA-sanctioned competition, effectively ending his college football career. Well, he did a whining, "I lost my scholarship" video. And then he's like, okay, move on. We're going to make money on YouTube. So you should have went to college and played ball, young man. The college revenue, the Yahoo, the YouTube revenue is not guaranteed. At WWDC 2017, it seemed the rumors were true, and Apple is indeed planning to compete against Amazon and Google by releasing the HomePod. And so basically, they've released the specs of it, and we have a very basic resolution of it. It means to show it's supposed to have a very small display, and it has LEDs in the top. What else? It shows when Siri's been activated, but it's only a 272 by 340 sized monitor. The rest of it's a big speaker. So we'll keep an eye on this. Hey, over in Coast to Coast, a new mystery space signal has been solved. Remember we talked about the Wow. Which one has been puzzling scientists for 40 years? Well, the one that was announced weird, they think that it's just another satellite that's out there. They think they've narrowed it down to that, some satellite putting out some weird signal. So it wasn't ET, sadly, all right? So we'll have to hold up. The actor from Alien reveals stunning series of UFO encounters. One of the stars of the original Alien film is open about what he says has been a jaw-dropping life of experience involving actual aliens and UFOs. In an interview with the website Vice, actor Yaphet Kotto claimed that he has had ongoing interaction with extraterrestrials, beginning with an initial encounter when he was 9 or 10 years old. Since that time, Kotto has said, it's been 50 years of me dealing with these UFOs and aliens. I'm going to watch the video on Vice and make sure he wasn't drinking too much alcohol. And something can only be talked about, survival of the fittest. There was a massive storm that flooded parts of New Zealand recently, and a farmer went out to check his sheep. And he was stunned to see a number of rabbits riding on the back of the animals. The rabbits jumped on top of the sheep to prevent from getting, being drowned. So you have to give the rabbits a hand and say, smart rabbit. Anyway, kind of funny. All right, you got an email here from Ron. He says, hey, Todd, with the solar eclipse on the way, get some solar glasses, but are they fake or real? So Google has a list of fake solar eclipse glasses. So I'll put that link up in the show notes, Ron. Thanks for that. And we haven't bought the Roomba yet, but it's still on the potential purchase list. And to be honest with you guys, I need to see how good we did with GoDaddy this month because I got insurance to pay and a whole bunch of other stuff too. So, you know, when I tell you guys, we keep the lights on because of the sponsorship here. It's the truth, all right? So no Roomba unless we had a stellar month with the sponsorship. So that's it. All right, I'm running out of steam here. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and being with me. Thought we were going to go long today, but I'm getting out of here on time. But if you have comments on today's show, we want you to email. Very simple to do. You just load Gmail and you hit the compose button. And then you enter geeknews@gmail.com and write your subject line. Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're listening, and what you thought of the show, or provide me feedback, or, you know, we want to hear from you. You are part of the Ohana here. So email the Geekster here. Let me know what you think of the podcast, how we've been doing. And I'll be back with you on Thursday for a regular scheduled show and hopefully to a little more smoother start than what I had today. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Hana. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care and aloha.